Welcome to the Amplified Network Marketing Podcast with David T.S. Wood. Whether you're just getting started or a seasoned professional, David and his special guest will help you take your business and your life to a whole new level. Thanks for joining us. And now, let's crank it up with your host, David T.S. Wood.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. It's a gorgeous day here in the Okanagan Valley. You know, it's I love the spring. I love the changes of the season. And I love, you know, when you're seeing those little crocuses that have been laying under the snow as they emerge in all their vibrant color, saying, hey, even though it's been freezing, even though that snow has been on top of me for months and months and months, they emerge in all that beauty. And today is a bit like that. I want to talk about the emergence of someone creating an incredible life. And again, it's that, you know, a little bit of struggle, some hard times, learning a new career, and being able to really flourish. So Dawn, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, David. It's an honor to be on.
Well, you know, I realize the announcement's not official, but I'm going to announce it because the announcement's coming. You have been a network marketer now for how long?
Just over 3 years, about 3.5 years.
And you've done something which is pretty extraordinary, because I always say having a 10-year mindset is, for me, is a critical piece of the puzzle. But you just earned your first $1 million in accumulative over the last 3 years. But let's be really clear what that is. So for the last 3 years, you've made $1 million. A million. Should I say it one more time? $1 million. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Let's go back a step. Before you got into network marketing, describe your life.
I was an accountant for 27 years. I have two children. I am married, and I had two jobs also prior to becoming a network marketing professional.
Two jobs in the accounting field, or?
Correct. Yes. I had a full-time job, and then I had a part-time job as well. So I was working a lot of hours, a lot of stress, a lot of deadlines and budgets, and just really crucial weeks at times during certain times of the year where I wasn't really home very much. And I still was trying to take care of two children. And my children are competitive baseball players. My one son actually received a recruitment for college to play ball. So I was traveling all around the country also trying to get that in. So I was extremely busy. I was one of those busy moms that make the excuses that I have no time.
How long were you an accountant?
27 years.
Holy moly, you look so young. All right, 27 years. And what was the kind of, just to give us an idea, what was the maximum salary you could make in your full-time job? I'm not talking about the combined with your part-time job, but just your full-time income after 27 years. What would that be?
Well, the position that I ended my job in, the maximum that I could have probably made at that point would have been just about $100,000 in my main job. That was not where I was at when I left, but that was definitely the max I would have ever been at.
What was your max? I mean, what were you actually making?
$80,000.
And then with your part-time, what were you making in your part-time?
Between 10 and 15,000 a year.
So you're under 100 grand a year, 27 years. And how long? One of the reasons I do this show is because I want people to get that as a professional, which you are, as a professional accountant who spent almost 30 years working as an accountant and then having to subsidize your income with a part-time job, how long did you go to school for?
I went to school for 4 years. I received a bachelor's in accounting, and then I did not go back for my master's, but I did go for the CPA exam. Decided not to continue with that when I got a job from public to private working for a client. So overall, I'd say 5 years of education, 4 years in college.
That's awesome. So again, we get a picture here. I mean, we've got a 27-year career. You've got 4 years of learning. I would suggest, and you may agree with me, that you are now in your third year of learning how to be a network marketer.
Always learning.
But it's third year. So if we use your previous experience of 4 years of learning to get an $80,000 to $100,000 a year job, you're now 3 years in the learning phase. And can I ask you, in the 4 years that you were learning, did you ever make money? Did you get paid to learn?
Absolutely not. No.
Okay. So you see where I'm going. I'm not trying to trick the public here or our listenership. I'm just trying to give them a reality check, is that if we use the same philosophy that you, if I'd said to you, hey, listen, Dawn, I'm going to teach you how to create $1 million income a year. And I know you're not there yet, but let me just say, you know, you're going to be there, right? You can see it now.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, with certainty. If I said to you a number of years ago, I say, look, Dawn, I'm going to actually teach you how to become, how to earn $1 million a year. So currently you make, you know, 80 to 100, but we're going to make $1 million a year. And I need 4 years of learning like you did as an accountant, right? Obviously, the network marketing has this thing that people don't get, that it truly is a career, right?
Oh, it's absolutely a career. It is a profession.
So here we go. You're 3 years in, you made $1 million. Obviously, it probably wasn't, I guess you didn't make it the first day. You're a woman, you got a competitive baseball children, you're traveling all over the country, you're working two jobs. I know tax season, you must have been completely overwhelmed and swamped. Talk to me about when you first stepped in the door. What made you actually say yes to network marketing originally?
Well, when I first came into network marketing, I actually did not come in for this financial opportunity. I came in for an experience with the product and service that I have. And after referring numerous people that chose not to call my sponsor and wanted me to help them, I decided to at least kind of take a look at it. I mean, why not earn a little bit of money? What's better than earning your products for free is how I looked at it. So
was stress one of the things you were trying to deal with, or what was it?
Absolutely. Oh, stress. I had more stress than most people. I had a very hectic, chaotic life, house, work, business, everything. It was extremely stressful. So I really didn't want to take a business on. I knew that there was a business opportunity, but I just really, you know, I use that excuse. I'm too busy. I'm a mom. I can't do this. I have too many jobs. And
you're a super mom. But do you think people get immune? I mean, do you think that a lot of women who are listening, or a lot of guys that are listening, that are kind of experienced a similar thing where they've gone to school for a number of years, they're sort of trapped with a ceiling over their head. In other words, they can make 100 or 80 or 60 or 50,000 depending on their profession. Do you think a lot of people, and then they have a second job and they're running the kids, do you think a lot of people just get immune to the fact that chaos and running and busy is just a part of the fabric of their life and they don't realize there's anything else available?
I do, because I was there. So that's how I am so relatable to half these people I talk to, because I was there and I really thought this was just how life is supposed to be.
Okay, so let's talk about you come in for a product experience. Then you realize that, well, you know what, maybe I can get my product paid for, but you're really just trying to help some people around you. You actually turned your head because some other people needed help, right?
That is true, yes. I mean, my one girlfriend who I really truly wanted to join me, just like I said, not join me in the business, I wasn't in it at the time, just join me in feeling, you know, the way I was feeling. She wouldn't call my girlfriend. She would not call my sponsor. And that's when I really made the decision that I need to help people, because I'm being selfish if I don't figure this out.
I just want to let people know, those of you that don't really understand jargon, right? A sponsor is the person that would invite you in originally, and they'd be the person who you would sign up with. So just to get you that, make sure that people understand what we're talking about. So then what? I mean, obviously, you weren't a gifted network marketer right away. There's obviously, everyone has to go through a learning curve. Now, I want to say this. I mean, the fact that you've made $1 million in the first 3 years, I mean, you are an exception to a rule. But it's becoming less of an exception. In other words, more and more people are stepping into this profession with a professional mindset once they've gone through that little bit of chaos in the beginning. Talk about, again, remember, you're sharing your story with me for the first time. Normally, I know all the stories of the people I interview. So I'm guessing that it wasn't the easiest thing when you started.
Oh, it definitely wasn't. I mean, I was always a really hard worker. My work ethic was very, very high anywhere I worked. So I really embraced this at the beginning as a job, meaning I put my all in, I did whatever I was told to do, what was required to be done. And I did it more as a job, meaning I wanted to make sure that everything was done, every I was dotted, every T was crossed, because there were people watching, when there really isn't, it's your own business. But I wanted to make sure that I was being successful for not only myself, but for the people that were relying on me, is how I felt at the beginning. So I just went full out. I made phone call after phone call. I had meeting after meeting. I filled my house with 35 people, some of them strangers, the first month I took this on. And I just really went belly to belly, knocked on doors and businesses in my town. I did anything and everything.
You still have two jobs at this point, I'm guessing,
oh,
right?
Oh, yes, I definitely do. Yes.
So then you got two jobs, you got busy baseball kids, you got the hubby, you got everything else going on, running the house. But what was the mindset when you went from, okay, I'm using the products, to, oh my God, I'm doing this and I'm going to go hard? How did you decide hard, and how much time could you allot to it every week?
I decided to go hard when I realized that, you know, I was responsible for people coming in. Like, I didn't want to leave them stranded. So I would say I was probably putting in at the beginning, maybe 10 hours a week. I don't think it was much more than that just because I really didn't have that much more time. I was already working in excess sometimes of 60 hours. So I would say about 10 hours a week I was putting in, but I was also taking the opportunity to share it anywhere I was. So I definitely took advantage of that. So the baseball games I was at, I took advantage and shared with anybody I met on the bleachers. Out to dinner, shared it with the person next to me in the booth, whether I knew them or not. So I just really chose to tell everybody I met what I was doing.
Well, you see a lot of people, even in your team, when they step in, the whole idea of just talking to everyone, for some people, even listening, it scares the crap out of them. So, was it something that was just easy for you because you made your mind up, or was it something that was still awkward? I mean, was it hard in the beginning for you to even reach out? Was your heart pounding a bit?
It wasn't pounding as much with my friends. It definitely was awkward or out of the comfort zone for those I didn't know. But I just really had to step out of the comfort zone and learn the skills to do this, or I wasn't going to be successful. I knew that. So the mindset was probably the hardest part to change because I was a hard worker. So the skills eventually became easy.
Because you did a lot of activity. So in other words, where some people would speak to one person every week, you were speaking to how many do you think in the beginning?
Yeah, dozens a week.
So you became better faster, not because of the length of time you were in the company, but because of the amount of conversations you were having, right?
Exactly. Yes.
And definitely. A lot of people miss that point, right? They actually start saying, well, I've been in this profession for a year and I'm only making blah, blah, blah. People do that. But then you say, well, how many people have you spoken to? And they'll say, well, 11, right? I mean, and you must see that, you know, the anomaly is, and again, we're seeing this more and more and more, people like you who come in, they treat it like a profession. They go to work. They allow themselves to be messy in the beginning. And that's what you seem to have been good at. Is not beating yourself up the fact that you were new. Because I imagine that when you first started accounting, you were pretty crappy at it before you were great at it, right?
Absolutely. Without a doubt, a lot of learning, a lot of mistakes in both my profession as an accountant and in network marketing. I mean, you just learn from them. They're just lessons learned.
Yeah. So you have a good attitude going on. So explain the progression. So, I mean, what was happening? Was your husband supportive that you were now spending another 10 hours outside the house? I mean, what was going on with that?
Actually, not too supportive at the beginning. He really didn't understand what I was doing, didn't really understand why we needed to bring in more money that was taking time away. I had never missed a sporting event for either one of my kids. And all of a sudden, I'm either at an event or possibly getting a call in the middle of a game where I'm walking out to right field to go take a call in private. So it was definitely, I don't want to say I was on my own, but sort of felt that way at times. So I didn't have as much support as I probably could have had, but I do own up to it as well by really not understanding what the profession of network marketing was at the time and including them to show them more the vision. I may have known the path I was on, but I didn't know how to express that. And that's really where I struggled at the beginning.
Some of the early mistakes, let's talk about that. What are some of the things that if you could go back based on 3 years of experience today, what would you have done differently, do you think, in those early, once you said yes, is there anything you would have done differently, do you think?
I think definitely a few things. The first thing I would have done differently is include my family from day one. This is definitely something that you create a legacy for your family and your loved ones. And they don't have to totally support you, but they have to respect and understand what you're doing. And that was definitely on me that I did not do that. I think another thing as well is I expected people to do what I did. And David, that was really tough for me when people didn't, because I didn't realize that I was an exception to the rule, talking to dozens of people a week and making phone call after phone call and having meetings after meetings. I didn't realize that that's not totally normal. Again, I treated it like a job, and that's how I would have done it at a job. So I think expecting and attaching
that can be a hard lesson, right? Because, you know, often what you'll end up doing is pushing people away because you don't realize that they're not committed. So your expectation is high for them. Did you find it was like it was more of a challenge because you had to learn how to meet people where they were at? Or
absolutely, that was probably the hardest challenge, was learning how to meet people where they were and letting go of the attachment that I had to that specific person. I think the third thing was, you know, not only meeting people where they are, but understanding that, you know, this isn't for everyone. So it wasn't just the people that were with me. It was also people that weren't with me yet, that I couldn't understand why they didn't want to do this.
I'm sure there's even people today, even people who have seen that you've, we'll see how your story evolves, but obviously making $1 million in 3 years is pretty extraordinary. Considering that would have been 10 years of income for your previous profession, you working two jobs. I mean, when you put that in context,
yes,
that definitely. I mean, just take a second to let that settle in. It's like, oh my God, that I would have taken 10 years working two jobs to create that same type of money. So I love this idea about, you know, it's not for everyone. Again, going back, I watch a lot of network marketers when they start out, and it's kind of like you're either with me or you're against me. You know, it's kind of like they can't understand that it's okay for their brother to say no, or their mother to say no, or their friend to say no. I'm great. You know, I mean, and I have a lot of friends who are not involved with me in network marketing, and I love them equally for my network marketing friends, right? Do you find that as well? Do you find that, is that something you had to learn, or was that sort of innate? Were you able to maintain the relationships when someone said no to you? Or
at the beginning, it was a little hard because, again, I did take it personally, and my family did not join me right away. They actually thought I was a little bit crazy. But I mean, it eventually I got over it. It was very hard at the beginning to not have people join me and to have people write me off, and, you know, some unfriended me even on social media, you know, and right. Wasn't okay with that at the beginning, but I am now. And again, meeting people where they're at, whether they're with me or not, meeting people where they're at was a very hard lesson to learn.
But a very valuable one, as you can see, because you've got rewarded for that lesson. But you could only get that lesson sometimes through the activity factor, the fact that you were in activity so you could learn it and make some mistakes. But I imagine, I mean, through your accounting career, especially that first 6 months or year, how many mistakes do you think you've made?
Many, very much so.
All right. So now, okay, talk to me then about this this idea. What was going on financially for you in those early months? I mean, because of the activity was there, were you starting to see like a lot of money coming in? Was it a little money coming in? What was going on?
When I did start, the money was coming in actually pretty quickly, I think, because I just put myself into action. So the first year, which was only a couple months, I earned about $11,000 in my network marketing business, which was fantastic for a few months. I just was literally talking to people and enrolling them. That was it. Not really attracting business builders. So to be able to make that kind of income was fantastic.
So you weren't attracting business builders. And this is a big distinction because we know that 80 to 90% of each person's network is customers. And our customers are our lifeblood. And we don't get paid on people. We get paid on the consumption of a product that our customers consume. But then we find some business builders, people who want to do what we're doing. And that's only a small percentage, right? Of all the people you've spoken to, typically, and this is something, again, that great networkers learn. They learn that it's okay to have a customer that does never become a business builder, right?
Oh my gosh, my customers are my business. Without my customers, I don't have a business. It's really important for people to understand that. And I think the retention of a customer shows the lifeline of your business. That's your bread and butter. I mean, bringing business builders in is fantastic and it's wonderful and it should absolutely be a goal of yours to bring them in. But the customers is, I mean, nobody in any business that they own, regardless of network marketing, can ever have a business without customers.
That distinction, again, I mean, you've done obviously a lot of activity in 3 years. So I would say that from an average activity perspective, you're probably about 5 years in with it. And I'll probably figure that out in a moment. In fact, let's do it now. How many conversations do you think you've had?
Oh my goodness gracious. Thousands. I mean, thousands and thousands.
Thousands.
Well, I've enrolled over 300 people.
Well, that's why my next question is, how many people did you personally enroll? 300.
I personally enrolled about 300, yes.
Okay. So from the 300 that you personally enrolled, how many have gone on to build a business with you? How many are primary builders? I'm talking about primary builders. I'm not talking about dabblers. I'm talking about people that say, I see this as a profession. And pretty much that would be the people at the highest rank in your team. How many do you think have gone from the 300 that are personally working with you? So, I mean, typically it's, you know, for most people, it's between 3 and 5 or 3 and 7.
I was actually going to say 5. Yeah, that's the number I was going to pick. I would say 5 that I personally brought in that are at that point or at that point.
These are important numbers, right? So we've got thousands that you've spoken to, 300 said yes. From the 300 that said yes, 5 have gone on to build. Now, how large is your team globally?
Well, I have about 27,000 in my downline, but my direct team is, I think...
No, that's why you need just in your downline. 27,000, that's globally. Are you in many countries? Is your team spread out around the world already?
We are in other countries, yes.
And how many of those countries have you visited?
I have not visited them.
This is really important for people to get, right? So you have a global business of 27,000 people from the 300 people you spoke to, the 5 people that have gone to work. Can I ask you, what was the highest income month today? What's the most you've made in 1 month?
$54,000.
How many no's do you think you've engaged? How many people have said no to you?
at least 1,000. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of no's.
Yeah, 1,000, which I think is very, very normal, right? And if I was to ask you, based on your current understanding, now you've crossed the line, I would argue that you're not a professional network marketer. Yeah, I think you have a professional mindset, and I think you understand the profession, but I think that, you know, you're still in that learning phase, and I'm not sure you'll agree with me. But then the idea that you have earned $1 million to learn this profession, do you find that staggering? Do you ever pinch yourself and say, oh my God, I've just been paid $1 million to learn this, and I'm still, you know, my question is, if 10 was a professional and zero was like someone who didn't even know what network marketing was, where would you think you are on the continuum of becoming a master professional networker? Where do you think you're at?
Oh, I'm definitely high, but I mean, you're correct that I'm always learning. I'd say I'm definitely at an 8, 9, or 10 in the regard. All the belief is there. It's just that you're constantly continuing to learn and grow.
Sure. But what I'm saying, not in your belief, but as a professional network marketer with your understanding, leadership development, all the things that you learn, right? Would you say that you're an 8 or a 9?
I would say I'm an 8.
And I think that's a great, I think that's a great number, because based on activity, based on what you're doing. So we look at those numbers, you've had thousands of conversations, you've had 300 people that said yes to you, from that 5 really went to work with you. You have a lot of customers. Now remember, from those 5, you have a team of 27,000 people. Now I understand some of that comes from other people who are your sponsors and other people like that. I get that. Highest month to date is $54,000. Let's ask another question. What was your first month's income?
About $500.
So, which means again, that's pretty good activity, right? That can be pretty high. I mean, some people have $34, $25, $29, but you had a $500 first start. Have you ever done this before? Have you ever looked at your numbers?
Don't forget I'm an accountant. So yes, I have spreadsheets. I have pie charts. I have the whole gamut on where I am, where I've been. I have comparisons year to year. So yes, I look at my numbers actually on a weekly basis.
Okay. Here's one that I want you to think about. Now, based on what you know, based on that you're an 8, and that 8 comes from, people got to get this. You got to get the 8 comes from the thousands of conversations. Because that's the activity. The activity has helped you. And then because you're in activity, you're constantly learning. You're going to events. So you're, you know, being an 8 is a very, very high, and you're getting rewarded for that. Give me an idea. Where do you think you're going to be in income based on what you know, based on that you're an accountant, basically you can do projections. Where do you think you'll be in 3 years from today? What do you think you'll be making a month?
I will definitely be at a 7-figure income annually. So I do anticipate that my number will be at least 6 figures, $100,000 a month.
And that so you'll be doubling in the next 3 years, which again, when you think that then within 6 years of joining the profession, you'll be making as much in a month or more in a month than you could make in an entire year working 2 jobs, right?
Absolutely. And it's just, I just want to make it clear, it is a little bit over 3 years. So I'm not in my third year. I'm actually in my fourth. I hit my third year already. So about three years and 4 months.
And I appreciate that clarity, because it's really important that we're absolutely straight on these numbers, right? Let me ask you, we're going to go back. First year's income. What was your first month was 500. What was your first year's income?
11,000.
Look at this. Hello, people. You better be listening out there. If you're not listening to this, this is a very true indication. Now, a lot of people, you know, they would look at that first year anniversary. This is where we lose a lot of people in our profession. They're going, oh God, I only made $11,000. Now, if we go back to your original conversation, you said to me that you worked 2 jobs. You made, you know, 80K in your full-time job, and you made about, you know, 11 to 15K in your part-time job.
Correct.
And this was another part-time job that actually paid you almost the same as you were getting paid in your first part-time job, right?
Not only that, it was only a few months out of the year. Right. I made 15,000 in 12 months. I made 11,000 in just a few months.
Exactly. So now give me your second year's income.
My second year was 101,000.
101,000. And give me your third year's income.
329.
And this is just real numbers. And if anyone wants to re-listen to the show and write these numbers down on a piece of paper, you know, I can repeat them for you if you got it there, right? So we're talking about a $500 first month, $11,000 for the first year, $100,000 for the second year, 110. I can't remember what you said there, 100. But then 329 for the third year. Now you're in your fourth year. What do you think you'll make in your fourth year?
Well, the first year when I said my first year, it was actually the year ending. So it was only a few months. So I'm only at 2 years right now giving you numbers. My third year, I made 470,000.
And now you're in your fourth year. Again, I love accountants. You see how you just did that? So for you, it's year ending. You know, like hear me, I'm using all 12 months and you're using the real year end. So based on your fourth year's income, knowing what's happening right now in your team with your activity, everything going on, what will be your income do you project?
I project it to be at least 600,000.
Okay. So again, so here we go. So for the first few months of the first year, remember year ending, 11K, we got 100 grand approximately for the first real year, 329 for the second year, 470 for the third year, and then 600 for the fourth. All right. And that started with a $500 first month's income part-time. All right. So we've got $1 million accumulative coming up to be announced very, very shortly. Came from thousands of conversations. 300 people said yes. 5 went to work with you. 27,000 people globally now in your team. Highest month to date, $54,000. And I just think, again, we've got this picture that really emerges about what it takes to become a professional network marketer. And these numbers, I can do these numbers with any professional network marketer anywhere in the world, and I'm going to get a similar picture.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about this first year. What is it? What is it when you want to talk to someone? We've got a whole world listening. Some people don't get network marketing. I mean, and young people don't have the crap in their head that some of the old people do. But still, old people have this kind of weird understanding of what this is. What is network marketing for you?
Network marketing is a business, and it is a distribution of a product or service from the corporate office to somebody's door, with you just acting as pretty much the salesperson for that. It is just like any other business or storefront, but you just don't have the overhead or the rent or the utilities attached to it.
So it's actually what they've done is they've eradicated. When we look at the stats on conventional small business, and I survey people all over the world with this, you know, we look at massive investment. I mean, I've had everything from, you know, $5,000 investment in a business up to $1.3 million in just the rooms I've surveyed. But I often hear $100,000, $200,000, $500,000, $800,000 that people have invested in a conventional business. With a franchise, we know like $250,000 just for the fees, blah, 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 blah. What did you invest to get into your business?
Oh, just under $400.
That was with product though.
Correct.
So you had your first month's product, which you could eat. So you actually ate your overhead on the first year, first month, right?
First month, correct.
But what was the actual fee to come into your business? Do you remember? Was
it $29.
$29. And that again becomes one of the, I mean, as an accountant, you get this. I mean, if someone says you can start $1 million a year business for $29, you're going to go, Otto, what's the catch?
Oh, there has to be a catch if somebody ever told me that prior to this.
Right. And you see the problem. And the problem is, you know, I almost feel like if we charged $5,000 for entry and we said you can't talk to anyone until you've gone to school, so I think people would take it a little bit more seriously. You're living proof of a very, very busy, very, 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 very busy working mom with two jobs and two, you know, high-performing athlete children, which takes a whole other level, and a marriage. Yes. You're someone who, when you speak now, hopefully the world is listening to what we're talking about here, because this is a big, big deal. So you got this business you started for $29. You've got this mindset then, as we're talking about, of network marketing. What do you think it is? Why do you think people out there don't get it?
I think it is definitely the mindset for them. They just don't understand it. But I think it's the fact that it takes work and people don't see the bigger picture. They don't see the vision. A lot of times people just see what's in front of them and they can't really see what's not in front of them yet. You know, it takes some work and it takes some painting that picture for somebody. And knowing that it does take work to do this, this is not an easy business, David. I mean, it's simple, but it's definitely hard at times and it's frustrating and you get doors slammed in your face and you get no's told to you. But the benefits that you can reap and the lives that you can change and the life that you can truly live and the people that you can help in the interim. I mean, I just feel that the more money I make now, the more people I can help. It's not even about me anymore. I mean, it never was, but it's just so about all these lives I can change and financially how I can invest in people and fundraisers and you know, even just my own family. We didn't have money to send the kids to school. Like my financial planner told me that I was paper rich and asset poor and told me we had to figure out a way to send the kids to school. And this was about 6 to 8 months prior to me joining the business opportunity. So it's, you know, it's really important for people to understand that you can always create more money, but you're still going to get capped out. You just can't create more time. And now it's the time freedom I can help people create as well.
When you got the 11K after those few months, what was hubby thinking then? What's your husband's name, by the way? Let me use his name.
It's Michael.
Michael, yes. What's Michael thinking at that point?
I don't think year one. I mean, the 11,000 was fantastic. And after just a few months, it was awesome. But it really was to try to do catch up. I mean, it was still to pay off some bills and pay off some debt. We traveled a lot for my kids. So our credit cards were always really high because we had hotel bills after hotel bills or airline. We were always just borrowing from this account to pay off that account. And so it really wasn't, oh, I see the vision. Not at all at that time. It was just like, oh, good. I'm glad more money's coming in. So you have to understand something too, David. I made a lot of money when I first started in accounting, and I chose to go nonprofit, which is amazing. I love what I did, to have a little bit more quality of life with my children. So I took a humongous pay cut.
Talk to me about your husband's income. I forgot to ask that. What was he making when you started these two jobs, or when you had these two jobs when you started in your network marketing business?
He was just under 100. He was about 97,000.
So you were actually pretty well paid. I mean, for one family to $190,000 a year, it's quite a lot. And you did that in your second full year. You eclipsed both your incomes, right?
Yes, that is correct.
What's Michael saying then?
Well, he's now retired too, and he's definitely it's supportive. it was incredible when I got that 1099 at the end of the second full year. When I got that 1099, and I said, Mike, I made $35,000 more than my full time job, and I said, there's something wrong. Like I just need to focus on this. This is definitely the answer for us. Because I don't know, David, if I was still treating it like a total business at that time. I still had the two jobs, and I think I was just working it like a job and seeing that this was really my answer and my solution.
Yeah. You are a hard worker, so all you knew how to do was work hard, right?
That's exactly it. Yes.
You're definitely going to be a seven-figure income earner in the next few years. I mean, this year, I mean, to have a $600,000 year. Again, that is, you know, 3 years of you and your husband working your asses off.
And we're not only just working our butts off, but stress and no time and risking our lives in snowstorms to get to our jobs at times. We're in Jersey. And, you know, it's just, yeah, it's 3 years of us working our butts off.
So as we start looking out there right now, you know, we've got about 10 minutes left in the show. I want to sort of dive into what is it you would love people to understand?
I want people to come away knowing that they can do this. And even though we all know the statistics that everybody can and most won't, not to be a statistic, because it really is such an amazing way for you to create a life that not only you deserve, but for others as well. And if you just do the hard work, you just do what's required, you just get plugged in, you attend events, and you never give up or quit, it's so possible. I mean, my vision and my mission for my own business, my personal business, is to free all working moms, because we deserve to be raising our kids. And I missed all that. I didn't do any of that. I didn't raise my kids. I missed all their firsts. And, you know, like I said, life is short. And when it's gone, it's gone, David. You can't get it back. And it's really important for people to know that, become an entrepreneur, because entrepreneurs will create more.
Well, an entrepreneur, but we have to be careful, because again, what I was starting to say, and I forgot to finish the numbers, you know, the average small business entrepreneur, you know, they're showing that statistically up to 93% will fail in their first 10 years. Now, some, they still have their business, but they're so chained to it. And they're like, you know, they're borrowing money from one credit card to the next. So they're still in business. The business hasn't disappeared, but they have zero quality of life. And I think you gave away the secret there is that a great network marketing company provides all of the infrastructure. They provide the training. They provide the website and the everything. So that really you can focus on the soft skills, the human skills, which is really what you need. And if every small business person didn't get enveloped by their business and, you know, paying payroll and hiring staff and doing taxes and all the other things that consume them, where they start to actually lose sight of what it is they're most passionate about. That's the real problem, right?
Absolutely. And you know what it is too, David? This is a vehicle. I mean, it really is just as simple as that. It's a vehicle. Maybe this isn't a passion for someone, but it's the vehicle to be able to do your passion, because what's better than doing your passion and maybe never being paid for it, but not having to worry about that because you have this vehicle?
And that's a really good point, because I mean, I hear some great professional network marketers, some I've had on the show, you know, they'll say, well, listen, my company is not my life. You know, this, my network marketing company is not my life. It's the vehicle that allows me to create and live the life I love, right?
Exactly. That's what it's about. And most people wouldn't be able to do that because they wouldn't make enough money in their passion or what they love to do. So they get stuck doing what they don't love to do because that's what pays the bills.
You know, when you look back on your journey, I mean, it's only just over three years. I know we're in your fourth year. Talk to me about some of the sort of things. What would you do differently? We talked about some of the early stuff, but is there some stuff now, as you've learned things, if you could go back, if you could give some people advice who are in network marketing, what's some of the things that you would maybe do differently, do you think?
Well, the one thing I think I would do differently, I did start to do it now that I am home and retired, is definitely personal development on a daily basis. It's not when you're struggling that you do personal development. It's every single day. So you don't just rely on that when, oh, I'm having a bad day, let me listen to a podcast kind of an attitude. It's I am listening or doing something to better and personally develop myself on a daily basis. And I would also, well, again, I am now, but I would also become more organized in the sense that treating it like a business from day one, having, you know, a planner from day one, having appointments from day one, not just pretty much saying, here's my number and text me when you need me. Yeah, that doesn't work.
If I said to you who you've become in these 3 years and the impact on your family, Michael, on the kids, you know, if you had to give all the money back that you've made, the $1 million, and keep who you are and everything you've learned, you know, you could, so that you could keep going from day one. But if you had to give all the money back, or you'd say, no, look, you know, I'll keep the money and I'll go back to who I was day one start. What's the answer to that riddle?
I would give the money back in a heartbeat to stay with the person I am today.
Because this is the bit I love, you know, I mean, this is why I do this, right? This is why I offer this, even this show is completely free, right? It's because I'm in love with this profession into the deepest core of my being. But I'm a personal development trainer, right? So for me, this is one of the greatest vehicles in the world to watch people emerge. You know, even when I did the introduction, I talked about the crocuses coming through the ground. I mean, that's what I see you as. I see you as emerging from under the snow, the weight and pressure and stress of the conditions of normal life, and seeing this, you know, you emerging as a beautiful flower that's just like alive and passionate and positive and having impact, even on people outside of your company, just the people you meet in the street and the contribution to your community or your churches or whatever, right? So do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. And the personal development piece of how I've grown, I'm a woman of confidence now and just poise and, you know, just where I've been and where I've grown and where I am now and where I'm just going to continue to go is priceless. That's the reward, honestly. It's the whole journey of what you go through. It's because it never ends. So I can't say, oh, you know, next year I'm going to, you know, that's the reward. The reward is the entire journey, every day, every month, every year. So the person that I become now was not me. I wouldn't even walk into a room full of people by myself. I mean, I was a very introverted. Don't forget, I was an accountant. You know, we push numbers and pencils. We don't like to talk to people. And where this has gotten me so far out of my comfort zone to really be able to connect, there's so many beautiful people and souls in the world that I never even knew that lived right next door to me because I was so shy and so afraid of not living up to somebody's expectations, not being good enough or whatever. And it really just sheltered me. I was a very sheltered person. And this totally has gotten me to a whole new level on that regard.
Some would argue you were very normal. I mean, when you look out there and you see how many people are locked in now, because once you've unlocked the door to the possibility of life, it's very easy to see who's locked in. I mean, you just walk by them and you can see the people that are living in the life that you used to live, which was chaotic and stressful and busy and never enough time, never enough money.
And the majority of it is not the case, especially where we are. I mean, you know, in New Jersey, it's so expensive to live here. And most people have two jobs in the state I live in. And my friends, you know, they're working ridiculous hours and just to make ends meet, if that.
When you look at this sort of accidental profession, and you look at relationships, I would say, even though I said earlier, I have a lot of friends outside of network marketing, but I would say some of the closest relationships I have are in this profession. And I think for me personally, it's because we hold a vision for people. We hold a vision for humanity. We hold a vision for living and sharing. And, you know, when we go to events, I mean, some of these relationships are so real and so rich, and we've traveled the same road. We know the peaks and valleys, and And I wonder for you, when you look at the relationships in your life that are born in the profession, not outside the profession, in the profession, do you want to describe a little bit of what that's been like for you?
That honestly has been life-changing. The culture of what you immerse yourself in, especially when you have a whole community of people that are not only like-minded, but truly want you to succeed. They celebrate you. They go through your struggles with you. They don't try to knock you down so that you struggle harder. They're always lifting to pick you back up, extending their arms. I mean, it's unlike most, you know, most places where people work, and everybody, and I don't, you know, degrade jobs. Some people have amazing, wonderful jobs, but you also have people sometimes that would love for you to leave. I know when I left, my staff person got my job, and, you know, that was a $30,000 increase for her. So there's always somebody looking out like that for you. In this, it's not like that at all. Everybody cares about each other. Everybody's trying to lift each other up, support each other, celebrate each other. And we want everyone to succeed in this profession.
Sure. And a lot of people don't get this, that, you know, there's people in your team who can sign up after you and out earn you. There may even be people in your team, but it certainly is the case in a lot. I've interviewed a lot of professional network marketers who have people in their teams that have earned a lot more money because they've had more conversations. But I think the adage that I want to leave people with is, you know, as a professional network marketer myself and talking to somebody who is an extraordinary example of the accidental professional network marketer, which I love. I love that story. I love the fact that it was never an intention. It became an intention, you know, almost by accident. And then what you've created with it is that we realize that, you know, our success, our financial success, is directly linked to the success we are able to create in others. And I want you to just end, Dawn, by talking a little bit about your team and those five people that have gone to work with you. And I realize that because there's lots of people in your team you work with that you haven't personally enrolled. And I understand that picture very well. But just talk a little bit about when you're watching other people's success, what's going on for you?
Oh, it is so rewarding. Even when I'm able to bring moms home that no longer have to work. And I mean, my team is amazing. We actually call ourselves Team Possible because my motto for them is, if everything is possible, making dreams come true, no one gets left behind. That's actually my motto for my team. I will work with everyone, but you know, when we talked about the five, I mean, you know, I have dozens of people that are in this business with me, and we meet them all where they're at, but none of them ever quit. They do everything that they possibly can for themselves to meet themselves where they're at. But I love them all. I can't imagine where I'd be without them, because without, in network marketing, you can't do this by yourself. You just can't. You have to have a team. And without a team, it will take you forever to build this business. So we have been a great collaboration with each other. We have a great support system with each other. Every time we have a new mom, you know, retire or leave her job, we celebrate that. And it's just really rewarding. So I am so pleased with the team I have. I love them to death. And again, I couldn't do this without them. So I do have to give them the recognition that they deserve as well.
Dawn, I just want to say how great this has been. I think we can have you back on our show and just talk about maybe some specifics about some of the things you're doing to create success, maybe some of your approaches to the systems you use. And so again, if one of you are free, if you want to come back on and do another one with me, that would be awesome.
I would be honored.
It was lovely. I mean, I've interviewed a lot of people. You don't hear me say this very often at the end of my shows, but I just love the certainty that you have. I love your story. It's a great story, and I think it gives a lot of hope and a lot of possibility. So thank you for being the example, but also thank you for being someone who's an example of what a true professional network marketer sounds and looks like.
Oh, thank you so much, David. I really appreciate this interview, and I really appreciate you for all that you do for us in this profession.
Thanks for joining us today. If you're ready to crank up your business and your life, go to amplifiednetworkmarketing.com and get your free video series and the essential resource guide for network marketing success. And join us on Facebook and Twitter for important news, updates, and growth opportunities. You can find us there by searching for AmpedNM. That's AMPDNM. Amplified Network Marketing. Let's crank it up.